There are certain people who come into our lives who we just like. Like, they're just magnetic people. For a lot of film buffs, one such person is Christopher Nolan. I say this because his latest movie just came out. And as I finish that movie, I realize that I'm always wondering what Christopher Nolan is going to do next. Some people we just feel that way about because they move with such presence and such efficacy that they're inherently interesting people. And if you can make yourself such a way, you can be this person who is deeply immersed in their projects and in their life, you can actually cultivate a sort of charisma. But it is absolutely worth mastering, because if you can cultivate star power, you can utilize the world at your disposal to make your dreams come true. And so in this video, I'm going to cover everything I know about how to cultivate star power. First idea is this: you need to have a creative project that your life is based around. Life starts with action. You need to have stuff to do that you can actually have an effect on, that you can have a tangible result on. It doesn't necessarily have to be like inherently creative, like working on a short film, but any sort of project. You know, maybe you're in this season trying to get your first software engineering job. You're actually trying to get a job at Amazon, your first FANG company position. Having a project that is within a reasonable horizon, that is yours, that is your mission, it sort of turns your life into a movie because it brings everything into full focus. Suddenly you have a reason to cultivate skill. Suddenly you have a reason to read Cal Newport's book on mastery. There is a reason all that productivity exists. You are trying to apply that productivity to this thing that is absolutely real. And we crave things that are real. Very few people know that real thing that they're working on in this season of their life. Back in the day when I first got interested in celebrities and YouTube especially, I would watch a lot of interviews on like Conan O'Brien. This was like the first stuff that I saw showing up on YouTube. It was like Conan O'Brien late night interviews. And in fact, the late night interview format was a big part of the culture in like the 90s and earlier. People would actually tune into things like SNL and late night TV talk show hosts, Jimmy Fallon, Colbert. They would like tune into these people much more than they do now and actually like listen in on what different actors and celebrities were talking about. And they would actually talk about, oh, did you see that interview section with Conan O'Brien and Tom Cruise where he talked about flying an airplane and making the pilot pass out? Yeah, Tom Cruise is crazy. People would have conversations like these around the water cooler at work, whereas maybe it's not so much of a part of the culture anymore. But as a kid, I would often watch those interviews with a lot of mesmerization. For me, it was like the actor Hugh Laurie, who was in the TV show House. I found him so magnetic and just so charismatic in his own way. And I wanted to be like those people. And I realized that at the heart of what made someone have like that star power celebrity appeal was the fact that they had a project to talk about. I mean, literally, the reason actors even come on TV show talk show hosts, you know, their segments is to talk about their movie, to promote their movie. Certainly there's conversation about other stuff in their life, but it's about selling the movie. If you're someone who has a project that you're working on in your current season and you know exactly what you're chasing, it's your next strategic move, it's like that main thing with which you're applying all of your focus, so much that cultivates charisma and creativity, it actually comes into your life. And I realize this now because I'm in the depths of pursuing my really next big creative project, which is working on the short film. In fact, I'm taking a trip to Ireland to start shooting the establishing shots of this short film. And even in the writing of that screenplay and that short film, I had to do all this stuff that I wouldn't have done otherwise. I read Robert McKee's book on dialogue. I wrote a script. I don't know how to write women, you know? There's a love interest female role in this movie who's a painter. I don't know how to sound like a girl, you know? I know how to sound like a slightly misogynistic gym bro because that's who I am and that's what my friends are. But, you know, what do women sound like? How do they read? How do they talk to each other? I didn't know that. So I had to, like, show my script to different people and get their perspective on it. It was a very cultivating, nurturing activity that forced me to develop all these skills, and not in some artificial way, necessarily, where I'm maybe, I don't know, doing some sort of lifestyle challenge. I mean, I'm not hating on it. I've done those before in the past as well. But when you have a real project that you're chasing, so much comes into focus and your whole life comes into focus in a way that feels very exciting and meaningful. So the first place to actually start when it comes to developing your deepest sense of charisma is to know what big project you're working on. Now, this begs the question, what if you don't know what project you should be working on in this season of your life? That brings me to principle two here, habits that force creativity. Here's the thing about us as human beings, and especially I think true of guys, we are fucking machines. So like we are, not that we're machines, like we were made to fuck. We were on this planet essentially to reproduce. Inherently, so much of what we do, conscious and subconscious, is to try to get laid, okay? That's just how it is. And even though, to a good degree, we're able to move past that and like focus on other things, the deepest parts of our biology cannot be denied. But that's also what turns into your superpower. So you need to actually take your really strong desire to have sex and get it on and like reproduce and have your genes propagate into the future like some virus. You need to actually use it to your advantage because your sexuality and your creativity have a one-to-one relationship. There are habits that you can enact that literally force creativity to ooze out of you because your sexuality is your creativity. For me, those are sleep, meditation, testosterone improving activities. Basically any activity that makes you feel like a winner and makes you feel hornier is good for you. Sunlight, drinking enough water, lifting weights, having like a low amount of body fat on you is very good. It reduces your estrogen levels. And then forcing a creative outlet with your sex expression that is not physical. Like inherently, we need to fuck, but you can either fuck in the physical sense of the word. You can either make a baby or just have an orgasm, or you can fuck your ideas. And then there's actually a third tier to this where you can sort of wrestle with your energy to have like spiritual insight. And so I hear, gain enlightenment. But at least the next immediate way that your sexual outlet will realign is in having sex with ideas. And so if you were to actually sleep enough, you know, sleep allows the subconscious mind to really heal. Like sleep is the most like regenerative activity there is. So it just forces you to be in tune with your subconscious. Meditation just sort of clears the fog. It brings clarity. So it sort of like adds more flame to the engine. And then testosterone improving activities, you know, anything that makes you hornier, just it gives you so much more energy, like engine power to work with. And when you force that energy to go in a direction that is not through physical expression, you immediately begin to like bleed creative ideas. There is so much I have done in my life that came from a state of what I would call inspired horniness. In fact, I actually look for that feeling all the time. If you feel like you just want to like fuck life, you know you're on the right track. Every time I've taken action from that slightly manic, spiritually aligned, horny state, I've done a lot of dope shit and I know I'm on the right path. And so I think it's very important to have these habits in your life that force creativity to ooze out of you. Creativity is really intrinsic to us because if you want to reproduce, you also have that same creative expression that you can utilize towards more entrepreneurial or creative endeavors. I genuinely believe this. And so when you are rich with energy and you bottle that energy up and you allow it to transmute into different directions, you start to have a better understanding of what your next creative action could be. It starts to reveal itself to you. And so if you don't know what your creative action is, make sure that you're really locking down those habits that can force creativity out of you. It's impossible to not have a rich reservoir of ideas when you're just energetically rich. The third idea then is that you need presence and detachment. Be immersed in your own life. This also applies to concepts like, you know, how to be attractive to 99% of women. What is the one thing that women are repulsed by? It's neediness. How do you think, you know, alpha males, or so they might be called, how do they engage with women? From a state of abundance, from a state of not caring, because they're used to being surrounded by beautiful women. Well, you know, the best way to cultivate that sense of presence and detachment, you know, detachment is the opposite of neediness, is to genuinely be immersed in your own life. And the beauty of knowing what your next creative action is, the beauty of being energetically rich and knowing where to apply your creative insights, is that it becomes a lot easier to stay present. The man who is present, the woman who is present, is so powerful because presence is how you bring so much potency to everything you do. If you're present, you can genuinely like have an effect. If I'm present while making this video will be good. And if I'm not, if I'm like spacing out or I'm like reading the script too much, then the video ends up kind of strange. It loses its sense of life and immediacy. So presence is immediately so powerful. Detachment is also powerful, but it's hard to be detached directly because we're humans. We're going to think, we naturally end up thinking about things. But one of the core qualities of someone who is a celebrity, someone who is a star, is that they're not thinking about other people. Other people are thinking about them. That's why they're the celebrity, you know? The attention is going from outside to them. And you can actually apply this to your own life by forcing yourself to be immersed in your own life. It feels a little bit counterintuitive, but anything that you want, especially if you want another person, you want a job, you want a relationship, the best way to get that thing is to fucking ignore it. You know, if you want to date this girl, you're absolutely in love with her, or you just lust after her even, the best way to get the girl is to honestly not think about her at all. And just like, well, how do I get myself to stop thinking about the girl? I just find myself thinking about the girl. By thinking about your next creative action. Think about your work, and then that'll just take up the entirety of your mind. You don't have room to think about other things. I think one of the most inspiring aspects of a director like Christopher Nolan, you know, an auteur, a maverick, who comes on the scene and really brings innovative ideas to filmmaking, is that he doesn't have a cell phone. And this is a very tactical move. The lack of a cell phone makes it impossible for him to think about other people. It makes it impossible for him to direct his energy super outward. He can only really interact with people who are in his immediate environment, right? He can only have deeper conversations, creative conversations. And the people who are the most interesting, the people who are the best at what they do, they're so immersed in their own work and their own life and their own people and like what is real in front of them, that detachment starts to come naturally. It's very hard to be detached if your attention is going outward. So if your attention is going too much in places like Instagram, looking at other people's story, what other people are doing, the fucking pancake that some stupid bitch ate at like some shop, whatever. If your attention is too outward, it's very hard to be detached, right? Because suddenly you're like, oh, look, she's got the pancake. Oh, why don't I have the pancake? Fuck the pancake. You know, your attention always goes outward. But if you forcefully put your attention on what is your next creative action, that action that oozes out of you, it becomes easy to be present. It becomes easy to be detached. And if you're present and you're detached and you're focused on your life's work, it's so charismatic. Looking back, any celebrity that you might have been really into, you might have had a crush on, a man crush on, whatever it might be, they're probably incredibly present. They're incredibly detached. They're just completely immersed in their work. And we can actually all cultivate that same quality. The last idea here then is that you should be your own stylist and publicist. Appearances matter, and appearances are very powerful in the sense that they're also a reflection of your environment. You probably heard that you become the five people that you hang out with. You become like your environment. So the best way to like cultivate good habits even is to make your environment conducive to those habits. If you want to practice the guitar, have your guitar within reach so you can grab it and start practicing guitar within 20 seconds. Actually, the same is true of your body, the clothes that you wear, even your digital portfolio. This is actually now in our modern society, all a reflection of our environment. The clothes you wear, I can say this as an actor, has an immediate impact on how you behave. If you dress like a redneck, you will become a redneck. Like, it takes me 2 seconds to feel like a cowboy when I put on like some chunky boots and a plaid shirt. Even like the fact that I have a motorcycle. Before I started biking or having any interest in adventure sports, lifting, all this stuff, I really saw myself as like a corporate Indian guy. I always wore button-down shirts, my hair, you know, this whole fade thing, that's completely new. I didn't know how to like style myself in a way where I felt like kind of like aggressive and cool. I dressed kind of like stock photo of like corporate Indian guy, you know? There'd be like a oversized collared shirt tucked into my pants. It'd always be like getting untucked because it was like billowy. It was like a loose shirt. I was always uncomfortable in my clothes. I was like skinny. I had like really noodly arms. I felt like that corporate drone, that corporate slave, because that's how I dressed. Immediately when I first got the bike, I didn't realize it would have an impact on my personality, but a motorcycle, it sort of represents daring a little bit, a devil may care attitude. It's inherent to it. It's a dangerous sport to some degree. So it cultivates this sense of adventure. The clothes do impact the personality. The clothes are also a reflection of the environment. So the thing with style is that you should follow your own instincts. You don't have to necessarily follow any particular trend. You don't have to like watch Teaching Men's Fashion on how to dress yourself or whatever it might be. But the cool thing about following principle number two, having those habits that engineer creativity to ooze out of you, is that you'll notice you have certain instincts inherent within you about what you find stylish, like how you might want to style yourself. It's like, oh, I love the way Ryan Gosling looks in streetwear. I kind of want to model myself after that. I love kind of like dressing like a hipster. Maybe I do like dressing like a cowboy. I love looking a little rugged and urban, or I like looking hip hop. I want to look like Michael B. Jordan in the Creed movies where he's wearing hoodies and vests all the time. you will have these natural instincts take over. Be like, that looks good to me. That would be my look. I want to wear these like Nike Air sneakers. But the key here is that you should make a choice with your wardrobe. Make the best choice that you can and don't not make a statement. It could be a simple one, but pay attention to your appearance, because your appearance will literally have an impact on your personality. And when we look at celebrities, when we look at a lot of people with star power, the product they put in their hair, the way they present themselves, whatever facial hair they might keep, it's very intentional. It doesn't look sloppy. It's done up in a particular way to like build a certain archetype. And then the last idea that goes with that is that you also want to be your own publicist. You know, you want to be your own PR. And the best way to put your own PR is with Instagram and YouTube. And it's here where I want to give a quick pitch for my YouTube coaching program. If you didn't know already, I run a mastermind where people get together to work on YouTube, work on their videos, and eventually climb up to being the kind of creator who gets 100,000 views a video. This is actually a learnable skill. Just like anything in life, YouTube is also an industry that follows certain rules of success. In his book, The Slight Edge, Jeff Olson talked about how in college, he got his daughter to go to every single class. And just by showing up to every single class, she was like in the top like 5% of all students, because most college students skip at least one class. Well, on the same note, most YouTubers skip some part of the creation process. You can actually be a very successful YouTuber while making simple videos. You can make simple talking head videos like this, even without the creative flourish, without a ton of B-roll shots, and find success as a YouTuber. But the main thing with YouTube comes down to having words that are interesting, that are worth listening to, writing scripts that are emotionally connected, efficient, they're delivered in a timely manner. There's not like a lot of ums, which is actually kind of hard to do. And having the words ring true, having a lot of authority in the words, all of that is very hard to cultivate. On top of that, the right title, thumbnail, the right mark content strategy for how you're going to end up making a video. Most YouTubers do not follow all 7 metrics of success to a good level. But genuinely, if you can get yourself to go from like a 2 out of 10 at a certain aspect of YouTube, say thumbnails, to like a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10, you can make such dramatic progress on YouTube like you wouldn't believe. And we've seen this with a number of people now, you know, clients of mine such as Issa Ibrahim or Jed Hearn, who have had some great results on YouTube, not only in terms of getting better views, but also building out a successful business side to their channel. Jed especially has climbed over to $10,000 a month in certain months just because he applied the principles of my cohort, of my mastermind, and ran with them for multiple months on end. If you're someone who wants to grow on YouTube and you're very serious about it and you think you'd be willing to put in 60 to 90 minutes of effort on YouTube every single day, I would invite you to check out the link in the description box. You can apply for coaching with me today and we can see if you're a good fit for the program. But regardless of whether or not you take my coaching program, being your own publicist and deciding how your presentation will show up online over Instagram and maybe on a platform like YouTube, I think in the modern world is a huge part of what builds star power. But essentially, this subject is worth mastering, because star power, that celebrity effect, or what we might have called in a previous podcast, heat, that quality that a person eventually cultivates, where it seems like everyone's talking about them and they're like the new star, the new hot kid in town. That quality actually is very achievable and it's very worth pursuing, I feel. And a lot of these conversations around how to be attractive to women or how to get a girl to be obsessed with you or whatnot, it actually stems from these ideas of being your own craftsman with your work, cultivating star power. And so if you're someone who's willing to figure out your next creative act, your next creative move, whether it's a short film or a level up in your business, some entrepreneurial effort, definitely to cultivate the habits that build creativity, basically negotiating with your own biology and your own sexual energy to be a creative force, and also to have presence, detachment, and also a sense of style. All of these things will really take us to the next level. And for those of us who are willing to cultivate these traits, to us I say, greatness is coming. We'll see you soon.